It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Here's a man who spends hours in hardware stores sifting through the nuts and bolts of life. Joe Soucheray.
Student newspaper at Evergreen State College. Little Mysterian hotbed there in Washington State. Has a section in its opinion pages described as for people of color only by people of color. This should be a place where we can be us without it being overshadowed by the dark cloud that is living under white supremacy and having to see things from a white perspective. This is why when we do cover these issues, it will be in the context and from the perspective of people of color and people of color only, according to the section's editors as they reintroduced it to readers in September. The anonymous column known as POC Talk debuted in the biweekly Cooper Point Journal last year and returned this fall to the newspaper's pages following racial unrest that erupted at the public university this past spring.
Okay.
When Evergreen State College came up the first time on the destroyed academy. Dear white people, please take a step back. This isn't brown people answer white people's questions hour. We're asking specifically for submissions from people of color, the section's editors added in their September intro. As being told no seems to be a difficult concept for some of y'all. I await your emails about the Irish. I don't know what this means. How the term white fragility is mean, great example of white fragility. I have no idea what these people are babbling about. And how we need to view people through a colorblind lens. You will 100% not get a response. I have no idea what that paragraph means.
You will 100% not get a response.
Not only is it poorly written, it doesn't mean anything. It's babbling. Published in the journal's letters and opinion section, POC Talk says it provides no-holds-barred commentary on local happenings. In the inaugural POC Talk column, it was suggested that a subject touched on in the column could possibly include, how do I rid myself of white dread? How do I rid myself of white dread roommates' numerous microaggressions?
I don't even know what that means. Microaggressions.
Topics the column has discussed include student activism, self-care, the local comedy scene, as well as the turmoil that upended the college after students in May accused a white biology professor, Brett Weinstein, and the university of perpetuating racism. The Cooper Point Journal...
By holding class.
Yeah. by holding class. In one column, POC Talk points to the scary national backlash the school faced last year, referring to the events that rocked Evergreen after students accused Weinstein of racism because he criticized a planned day of absence in which white people were asked to stay off campus.
What a racist.
The protests on campus garnered national attention, and amid the upheaval of the college was shut for multiple days in early June because of threats it received since the unrest. Evergreen said it will train students not to discriminate against white people.
Ah.
There's the turnabout.
You got to be trained, huh?
Weinstein and his wife, fellow biology professor Heather Haying, sued the college and eventually reached a $500,000 settlement, a topic POC Talk discussed earlier this summer. A column complained about the settlement, arguing Weinstein is a poster child of white privilege and that minorities face harassment on an almost daily basis. It's horrible and it's traumatizing, but ain't nobody going to pay us $500,000 to deal with it. Is Brett the biology teacher?
Mm.
Huh?
I believe so.
The column said, Brett is the definition of white privilege and fragility. The fear and danger he and his wife felt they were exposed to was only the slightest sliver of what POC deal with on an almost daily basis. I don't want to read this.
Come on. Oh, it's going. And it's going to be gone. I'll tell you that right now.
Only five? There you go.
Yeah, well, it's thick. This is thicker stuff, too. This is printed on high-quality paper.
Seven. Eight. Come on, one more. Nine.
There it is.
I got one more.
That was everywhere.
That just fell, and I got a big mess now.
The people of color section, you say, huh? Not for white people.
Don't read it.
Don't worry.
It's like that's like when I was a kid and I had a dresser drawer and I labeled everything. Socks, jeans, you know, t-shirts, underwear, and then the bottom. Secret drawer. Do not look in secret drawer.
Yeah, not that anybody would do that.
Right.
Bear update.
Bear update.
Update.
We interrupt this program to bring you a bulletin concerning the bear in Central City.
Jellystone Park has turned into a city.
Hold it, bear. Right over that bear up there. Somebody let their fur come out on a bear up there. All right, look out. Come back here, bear. Don't be afraid, bear. Move this way. Give me your paw.
What did you do that for? I didn't buy them.
That's not a bear.
That's a lion.
Guys, okay.
Not a bear. 25-year-old Bo Bowser of Rayburn Township in Armstrong County, Pennsylvania, got a 7-foot-tall, 600-pound bear when he was hunting.
Wow.
Think of that. It took 4 shots to take down the bear, and then they had to float it across a creek. It's unbelievable.
Hoping to make sure it was really dead.
13 years of hunting, this was his first bear. They slowly floated the bear across the creek and then called in help to get him to the ATV. Friends and Bowser's dad all pitched in. 5 guys, 45 minutes to drag it 15 yards. It's like moving a light rail car.
Wait a minute.
Huh?
What do you mean they floated?
Well, they pushed it across the creek.
But wouldn't it sink? It's literally dead weight.
Bears don't float, do they? I don't know. Bears float? Can hold it up.
I'm going to see.
Maybe they put the big life jacket on it. The big collar.
The big orange
life
vest.
Jacket.
Well, you know what? No, that might not be that out of, if they were that close to water, they may have had those.
Let me tell you something. They got some bears in Pennsylvania.
Wow, 7 feet
That's
tall?
A big bear.
That beautiful hair?
Yeah. Shine when you touched it.
When you go to Google,
yeah.
And the first two words you read are do bears. I always get interested in what follows.
I know what one of them is. Do they do it in the woods?
Well, the first,
float?
Yeah. No, the first one is hibernate.
Yeah, of course they do. Sure.
The second one, do bears have tails?
No, they don't.
Okay.
Do they?
Well, now I guess I know why. It's Google search so much.
Do bears have tails?
Do Lieutenant Dan
have legs in real life?
I will look that up.
I don't think bears have tails.
I've never seen the back of a bear. Polar, I don't know. Can't say.
No, I don't think they do.
He gave the meat to some friends, and now it's at a taxidermist while he figures out whether to have it mounted, which could cost $3,000. You just can't put it in the corner of your living room, said Bowser. It would take up too much space. As for next bear season, Bowser says he'll be back at it, but we'll keep. Did we take a break yet?
Not yet.
I was wondering. I had a little slip of the mind.
Yeah, I know a little bit. That's okay, though. But you still have good time. You're still good.
I can't find if bears float or not, but there's a website called bearsmart.com that dispels bear myths.
Yeah.
One of them I find interesting.
All right.
Bears can't run downhill.
Really?
They can run more than 60 kilometers an hour, and they can do it uphill, but they cannot do it downhill.
I wonder why a bear can't run downhill.
You think they're
Do they have time trials where they're like, okay, bear, you run up the hill ready and the stopwatch, go.
Yeah.
The bear says, I just can't do it downhill. I'm not.
For the next bear season, Bowser says he'll be back at it, but we'll keep his expectations in check. Bowser said, I mean, I'll never shoot a 600-pounder again, but sometimes luck is on your side. While the game commission says this was one of the biggest bears taken in the season, it was not the biggest. The biggest was in Venango County at 700 pounds.
Wow.
So what did this one weigh? This one just quite didn't make it to 700 pounds. Oh, like, this was 600 pounds. 600 pounds and 7 feet tall. That is monstrous.
Like a deer, do you dress it right there? Do you get all the guts out?
I don't know. But let me tell you something. Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
They got bears.
They got some bears. They got some big bears.
That's good bear country.
Yeah, I wonder when the guy realized that one shot ain't going to do it. One shot ain't going to do it.
Well, he said he had to shoot it...
four times. That's what I'm saying.
Shoot it four times.
But it was like the old Western where they shoot the guy and he just keeps walking and then shoot him again.
I'm going to entertain these calls when we come back.
Okay.
Bears do not hibernate.
What?
The chief offsite correspondent alerted me to look it up, and I did.
What, does he know one?
Hibernation is complete sleep. Bears essentially rest and just live off their body fat, but they're not in a deep sleep. They don't hibernate. That upends all of my knowledge of bears.
Yeah, we were taught from day one that bears go hibernate.
No.
They just sleep deep?
They get into a state of torpor.
What's that?
Well, that's... T-O-R-P-O-R.
Torpor. A trance?
Yeah, yeah. But they're not sleeping.
I'm not so sure that I accept that. I challenge that.
What are you, a scientist?
I just challenge it. I got a gut feeling, and I go with my gut feelings.
Ryan.
Is this Yan?
Ryan.
Ryan?
Hey, Joe.
What's up, Yan?
It's typed Y-A-N on the computer, so I thought it was Yan.
Well, it's not my fault. The director of social media can't spell.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Bears have a kind of a flap instead of a tail.
A flap?
Yeah, it's called a butt flap.
Oh, they got a butt flap. Yeah,
they got a butt flap. They use it as a brake, too.
Okay.
When they go sliding down the hill, it slows them down.
Whoa, that's a tough brake.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting out a wing or something.
kind of, sort of. By the way, Phil Mackey is an awful human being.
Why is that?
You ever listen to him?
Sure.
Yeah.
I like Phil.
No, they're okay.
Phil's knowledgeable.
They're okay. They're okay.
I heard he kicks puppies.
No, I doubt that very much.
No, only when they're hibernating.
No, thank you. Why is the guy against Phil?
I don't know. Phil Mackey's a good guy on and off the air.
Larry?
Yeah.
You're on the air.
Okay, yeah, the Bears can't run downhill because the front legs are too short.
Oh, I see.
Oh, they're top heavy.
Yeah, they're short compared to the back legs. And so they fall on their nose. So they got to take it easy, otherwise they fall down.
I get it.
They learned that at an early age, I bet.
Thank you. I've never had any bear meat.
How about at the... Good for you.
Have you tasted bear?
I have.
Yes.
You have?
Mm-hmm. I have.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's a little...
Is it gamey?
It's a leaner, yeah, a little more... compared to a...
Is it rough?
I would rather have a steak. I mean, a regular steak from a cow, but...
Of course you would.
It wasn't horrible.
Yeah, I.
You want to try some?
No.
You're good. Okay.
Yeah. What's wrong with
Very
you?
Very exotic.
You're just.
I just don't know.
Are you sleep deprived? Oh, don't put your qualities on me.
Yeah, that's what you always do.
I do not.
Yeah, you do.
I do not.
You do.
Are you sleep deprived?
I'm not. I had a great night's sleep last night. I went and saw. The United hockey team beat Park Cottage Grove 4-3, and then I went home, and I had a cocktail, and then I went to bed at a very good time and got up at about 6:25 a.m., rushing outside to meet the Highland Sanitation trash guy because I forgot to put the trash out. They're the best in the business.
So the answer,
and I don't get any deals on it. They're the best. Highland Sanitation, by far the best in the business.
It's the only company I've ever used.
Yes.
I sure as hell better get
the key. You know what the guy did? He turned around because he saw me come out, and he took my trash.
Well, I'm telling you, you put a dead horse out there, they're going to take it.
Or some Twins tickets.
Yeah. You put a Buick, they're going to haul. They'll figure out how to get the Buick in the back of that thing.
And they're a local family.
I better get
place.
To keep them under this communist regime we now have to live under in St. Paul.
Well, my mayor in South St. Paul has not implemented this in his city, so I'm free to choose my own.
I think you might. I know the mayor of South St. Paul personally, Jimmy Francis.
Yes,
Mayor Francis.
Yes,
I think you're all right there. I think you got the right guy.
Well, I hope so. I like him so far.
Do you think he works at it every day, or has he got another gig?
He has an office in downtown St. Paul, would be downtown South St. Paul.
Right.
And there are meetings on Mondays, so he has to attend, you know, city work on Monday. And then, you know, you're always on. It's like you as mayor of Garage Logic.
You're always the mayor.
Always on.
There's not a thing you can do about it. You're always answering the requests of the citizenry.
Correct. But I think he has to actually be in his city office on Monday or get ready for the Monday meetings or whatever he's doing.
Should I take Larry here?
I think we got time for Larry.
Larry.
Hi, Joe. Hi. Yeah, not an expert on this, but I'm pretty sure that bear meat is pork. That's why they have sows and boars. So that's my understanding.
Wait.
And I got a wild boar in Hawaii, and it sure tastes like pork to me.
Huh. All right, thank you. Bear is pork? Are bears pigs? Are bears and pigs in the same family?
No. Pig is pork. Bear, it would be...
Bear.
Bear.
Well.
Like elk is elk. Or elg.
Where do you get the wolf urine?
From
the wolves.
The wolf.
From the wolves. Well, the guy has a point, though. They call some bears sows. I wonder if they're in the same family. I'm going to look that up.
The hair is completely different. The makeup is completely different.
I mean, we almost learned how a light rail car gets back on the tracks. We're now learning about bears. And now I'm going to discover if bears and pigs are biologically related. Ain't that Google something to work with?
And we also learned who the guy, Russian guy, met in the cafe.
Yeah, I'm pretty convinced it was... I'm pretty convinced I know who it was.
Willow?
And now I'm getting all kinds of messages from people who say I've ruined the ending for them. And I really haven't.
Your chance to read it. It's been out for a while.
Yeah. I really haven't ruined it. It's not ruined, knowing that. Because you'll just get there and ask yourself the same question.
Got it.
Several people are weighing in. Did the previous caller think we were trying to say boar and not bear meat?
Oh, maybe. Maybe. But I still am going to look up if bears and pigs are related.
I thought he said pork.
But I'm going to tell you, we'll be back shortly.
Garage Logic on a Friday afternoon. Life is good. Here's Joe Souchere.
Here's John Haidt.
Thank you, Joe. It's cloudy.
Bears and pigs are not related.
Yeah, are you shocked by
that news?
They're
called boars and sows, and they like to roll around in the mud, but that's it. They're not related.
Email from Gary. Hey, morons. Pigs are hooved animals. Bears have paws. Bears are closer to dogs than they are to pigs. Yeah.
They're not related.
And I think they do hibernate. I get the final word on that. They go into torpor. Yeah.
Do pigs hibernate?
You guys, please don't tell Joe what I said when I came in here, okay?
No, we won't.
I want to know what he said.
I said that may be the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life, is what I said.
Well, did you hear the caller who said the meat is pork? Well, that's why I looked it up.
I don't want to be rude
to the caller, but.
I'm pretty sure he thought we said boar, not bear.
Oh. Well, they're not related. I know that.
Really?
Yeah, I looked it up.
Cloudy, 50 degrees. This update brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware and Garden Store, proud sponsor of The Beer Show with Mr. Reavers, Thursday nights here at 1500 ESPN.
That was on last night.
We talked to John from Barley John's. Yeah. Boys, get yourself familiar over in New Richmond. They've been at it for a long time. They make wonderful beer.
They do. I frequented their beer on occasion. In fact, I met him at a liquor store.
That's okay.
Yeah. So,
in fact, he had the they had a Bloody Mary beer. I didn't think I'd like it. I'll be honest. It was really good. Huh.
Vikings injury report for their game Sunday against the Falcons. For the fourth game in a row, the Vikings will start their backup right tackle, Rashad Hill. Mike Remmers still out with a lower back injury. Remmers had suffered a concussion against the Browns and missed the majority of that game, then sat out the following 2 weeks. Came back to practice on a limited basis last week, but didn't play against Detroit, then practiced on a limited basis only once this week. Linebacker Eric Kendricks is questionable with a hip issue for that game Sunday. Coach Mike Zimmer said he does think Kendricks will play against the Falcons. For Atlanta, they'll be missing their number one cornerback, Desmond Trufant. He's out with a concussion.
Somebody sent a video.
We've lost Rook.
Somebody sent a video of a bear, and it's dancing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's what the GLers are thinking about out there today.
Timberwolves point guard Jeff Teague is listed as questionable for tonight's Wolves game against Oklahoma City. At the morning shoot-around today, he said he hopes to be out there. He says he'll decide for sure after warm-ups tonight. Tyus Jones has played well as his replacement since Teague injured his Achilles tendon. Tiger Woods at the Hero Challenge. I don't know how up-to-date this is, Joe. You might be able to help here. Tiger Woods tied for third through 17 is what I have at 8-under.
He's done for the day, but I don't know where he is on the leaderboard.
It just showed his score at 6-under.
Oh, 6-under.
And he's not clutching his back in pain.
Does that mean he lost two strokes on the 18th hole?
I don't know. Wow. I have been trying to do the show, and I've had this bear pig controversy.
You've been a rock.
Yeah.
Charlie Hoffman in the lead, by the way, at that tournament. News notes from today. NBC News now saying it's confirmed the Trump transition team member mentioned in Michael Flynn's plea deal is Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Earlier today, former National Security Advisor Flynn pleaded guilty in federal court to a charge of making false statements to the FBI about his communications with Russia. The two-page charging document filed lists two false statements Flynn made about his interactions with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. In late December 2016, says Flynn falsely claimed that he had not asked Kislyak on December 29th to refrain from escalating the situation in response to sanctions that the U.S. had imposed against Russia. Prior to that December 29th call, Flynn called a senior official with the transition team who was with other members at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida to talk about what they say, what to say to the Russian ambassador regarding sanctions. NBC now saying that official was Kushner. Demolition expected to begin Tuesday on the site of an explosion on Minnehaha Academy's upper campus this past summer. The August 2nd blast killed two people, destroyed part of a building. An entry on the Minnehaha Academy blog on the school's website said the school has secured the necessary permits from the city of Minneapolis, and crews will be working to remove debris from the site over the next 2 weeks. After that debris is removed, the destroyed portions of the building will be torn down. Senate Republicans on track to pass their massive $1.5 trillion tax legislation after making a few final deals this morning to get some wavering senators on board. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell saying we have the votes after meeting with his caucus. Almost simultaneously, Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona, key holdout, announced his support for the legislation that delivers massive tax cuts to America while bestowing mixed blessings on parts of America. Joe, I have an owl story for you.
Love owls.
What's the update with your owl?
Haven't heard them. Okay. I haven't heard any of them.
This one comes from Duluth, when an Alakif Coffee Roasters employee called to say he had found an owl stuck in a coffee machine. Wildwoods Wildlife Rehab thought it was a joke at first.
I can't see an owl, and here's one stuck in a coffee pot?
That's right.
Well, you're not in Duluth, though, either.
In fact, an owl was far from Alakif employee Ezra Bennett's mind when he went to investigate the noise he was hearing from within a piece of equipment at the Duluth business that day. But when Bennett opened the door to the machine's cooling system, a startled snowy owl was looking straight back at him. Bennett said, "I caught sight of something white. I saw eyes, and then I saw feathers. Then I think it tried to fly out because it was spooked." The owl, now named Mocha, for one spelling of the... But the Yemeni port city known for its coffee was rescued by Wildwoods, found to be uninjured, and headed to the Raptor Center here in the Twin Cities for further examination. Snowy owls generally are found in the Arctic. A few snowies come down as far as Minnesota and Wisconsin every winter. Some years they come into the U.S. by the thousands in what's known as an eruption. That's I-R-R-U-P-T-I.
Eruption?
Aren't we undergoing one here? That's what I thought
year?
I read in the paper, that we're having an eruption.
I believe you're correct.
Mm-hmm. I had a couple today.
Maybe that's why I heard them, because of the eruption.
Bennett said the machine was making its typical noises, except for something rattling around when he was cleaning it at 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. Bennett said they think the owl somehow ended up going into the smokestack at the business's roof that's attached to the machine's cooling system, but was unable to fly back out due to the small diameter. The cooling system is a closed system. Mocha never reached the roaster or the beans, and the owl was found in the collector where the residue from the coffee goes at the bottom of the smokestack.
It's a long story, isn't it, John?
It is. There's three more paragraphs, but all I'm going to say is the owl will be fine.
Good.
Oh, good.
Is the owl now free?
They took him to the Raptor Center last evening. here in the Twin Cities. So,
well, was there something wrong with it?
No, they took it there, I'm sure, just to
take it outside and say, see?
Well, they want to make sure. They probably want to
check it out.
Double, you know, when we have John on the air at the state fair, they want to check it out.
They're raptors, aren't they?
Yeah. They're also not related to bears.
Nope, not at all.
Who found him?
The coffee maker. The coffee guy in the coffee shop.
Who?
Coffee shop.
Who?
Took you four times to get there?
No, you know what?
That's not a pun!
No, you're really threatening your employment.
I don't think you could hear it for real. I think that's what it was.
Yeah. When Ford was deciding...
He answered it three times!
When Ford, the car company, was deciding which lucky individuals would get the right to buy their redesigned Ford GT, they ran potential owners through the gauntlet.
Love that. John, I meant to get this story. I'm glad you have it.
For those selected, they got the privilege of dropping more than $400,000 on the new car. But it didn't come without a catch. Owners had to promise they wouldn't flip it for a profit. New owners taking delivery had to sign an agreement promising to hold the car for at least 2 years before selling it.
This is the new Ford GT.
Right.
They only made a handful.
And it looks like one of the fellas they cleared, wrestler-turned-actor John Cena, didn't care too much about the agreement he signed. He allegedly sold his new Ford GT, flipping it for a huge profit. Ford found out about the sale and is suing Cena in the U.S. District Court in Michigan.
I hope Ford wins.
According to Ford, Mr. Cena has unfairly made a large profit from the unauthorized resale flip of the vehicle, and Ford has suffered additional damages and losses, including but not limited to loss of brand value, ambassador activity, and customer goodwill due to an improper sale.
I think it was to Ford's credit that they tried to place those cars in the hands of true aficionados to prevent this.
Mm-hmm. Ford wants Cena to fork over all the profits he made on sale as well as pay damages. The lawsuit claims that Cena told Ford he sold the car to pay some bills.
Well, how in the hell did he buy it?
Well, he should have plenty of money. He's one of the most popular wrestlers in the world, and now also in tons of movies. So
John Cena? That question will be answered next. No,
you well, can't. Well, did see you know it. That some owls aren't that wise? Don't forget, I'm having brunch with Megan tomorrow.
Who?
Megan, my coworker.
Owls. Who?
Seriously, you met her like three times.
Who?
Okay, thank you. I don't know what you're showing me.
Wow. Well, it was two owls talking, see, so the one kept saying, who?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was Chris's idea.
But as funny as Reavers.
Yeah, well.
John, that should be enough.
Well, hey.
Joe's going to leave.
Yeah, I'm done.
Have a good weekend.
And now, the man who has never had a relationship with a tree, Joe Soucheray.
Good for golf, isn't it, Joe?
You could play today.
Yeah, it's fun to watch him play well again.
Oh, I thought you meant our weather.
No, well, that's good for golf, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But you would have played. But yeah, it's fun to see Tiger playing well.
He's playing very well.
Yeah, he is. 50 right now, Joe. We're stuck at 50, but that's pretty nice for this time of the year. The average high for today is 32, or 18 degrees above that. Partly cloudy skies tonight. The low temperature only a couple degrees below the average high, down to 30. 48 tomorrow, 48 again on Sunday. Sunday has an increase in clouds. Tomorrow, quite a bit of sunshine, but Sunday, the increase in cloud cover will give us a chance of showers, I think, late in the afternoon through the evening. Maybe even a little thunder possible Sunday night. Then Monday, some scattered showers in the morning, changing over to a mixture in the afternoon. Should be mostly snow by evening, Monday evening into early Tuesday, and that could cause some accumulations to occur. A couple of inches not out of the question here, so that could cause some problems with the evening commute and possibly even the Tuesday morning commute as well. And that's when the temperatures drop. 23 for the high on Tuesday, 20 for the high on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday, we're back up to 26 for the high. And overnight lows in the single digits to low teens Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night. Again, going for temperature tonight, only down to 30. Right now, we're at 50, Joe, and I have the records for the day.
December 1st.
Yeah, 68 on this date.
68?
And the warm year of 1998.
1998.
15 below zero.
15 below?
In 1893.
In 1893. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
See, I mentioned this yesterday, but we have the supermoon Sunday.
Yeah, supermoon's coming up Sunday.
Clear skies are forecast across much of the eastern U.S., except for New England and around the Great Lakes, according to the National Weather Service. Elsewhere, clouds could obscure the view in the upper Midwest. Okay. That's us. That's us. Yeah. Aren't we? Isn't we? Oh, the December full moon, even when not a supermoon, is known as the cold moon. The moon will reach perigee, the moon's closest point to Earth for this month, at 3:45 a.m. Eastern Time Monday. That's 2:45 a.m. our time.
Okay.
When the moon is 222,000 miles from Earth. The moon's average distance is 238,000 miles. In case you missed this one, the first two full moons of 2018 will be super moons.
Oh, they will.
Mm-hmm.
Did not know that.
Just over a year ago, we enjoyed an especially large super moon, the one on November 14, 2016. I have pictures of that in my phone.
There was a lot of excitement concerning that moon. I don't know. We talked about it a lot because we talked about how often there are moon events.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
Yeah.
That was the closest since January 26, 1948. And that one won't be surpassed again until the supermoon of November 25, 2034. So you guys enjoy that one. I probably won't be here for that one.
You'll still be
doing the show.
Be fun Fridays. Let's go.
All right.
Are pigs and bears related?
Right. Are they related?
Somebody go and get Patty. Forgot to come in at 3, will you? Just roll him in here. He's fine.
I can't imagine Pat as an old man.
What do you? He is.
Well, that's true. But I mean, you know, in his 90s.
Ah. Sid-like, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't either. He would be... He'd be maybe a little needy.
Have you been in a Walmart lately? Are you a Walmart? Do you have to be a member?
No, that's Sam's Club. Oh. I'm a member of Sam's Club.
They had a T-shirt for sale, presumably as a Christmas gift.
I saw this.
It says Rope Tree Journalist. They've since removed it. Why would Walmart be party to such nonsense?
A buyer of screwed
up. I'm personally offended. I don't get offended. But I'm personally offended. They're talking about me. Rope Tree Journalist, some assembly required. $18. Who would buy such a thing?
$18?
Yeah.
See you on that. Yeah. A buyer really screwed up on that one.
It's supposedly humorous. It suggests reporters should be lynched.
I don't think so.
The Radio Television Digital News Association said Thursday that its Voice of the First Amendment Task Force sent a letter to Walmart executives asking them to remove the shirt. It had been offered on Walmart's site by a third-party novelty seller, Teespring.com.
Hey, call the T.
According to the U.S. Press Freedom Tracker, of which the Radio Television Digital News Association is a founding partner, nearly three dozen journalists have been physically assaulted so far this year across the country merely performing their constitutionally guaranteed duty to seek and report the truth.
Yeah, you can't have a T-shirt out there like that.
Said the letter from RTDNA Executive Director Dan Shelley. It is our belief that at the least, T-shirts or any other items bearing such words simply inflame the passions of those who neither don't like or don't understand the news media.
Yeah.
At worst, they openly encourage violence targeting journalists. We believe they are particularly inflammatory within the context of today's vitriolic political and ideological environment. The letter recognizes Walmart's right to sell such merchandise. However, just because Walmart has the right to sell the shirts, that doesn't mean it is the right thing to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody should have caught that.
Yeah.
And they didn't, so. But $18 for the shirt? See on that.
I don't know what T-shirts cost.
They should be 10 or 15.
See, I like a nice T-shirt, though.
I like a nice, thick T-shirt.
If I got a nice T-shirt, 18 sounds about right if it's a good-fitting one.
Okay. All right, well, let's I'll tell you what. We got a scramble coming.
Yeah.
Are you ready for
scramble?
What do
you want me to do?
Well, I thought you were going to break for the scramble right now. But if you got more, you go ahead.
No, I can break for the scramble.
Because we always run out of time. And a lot of times we can't get Frankie in, or we just squeeze him in and we're done.
The Sands is proud to present a wonderful new show, A Man and His Music. The music of Count Basie and his great band. And the man is
Joe Souchere.
Thank you!
Huh? Garage Harmony, baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? Yeah.
Hey now!
How did all these people get in my room?
That was very close. That was very close.
Is that close
Come
enough?
Fly that was close with me, enough.
We'll fly away.
Da, da, da. If you so wish me luck with my project tonight. I have to install a light, a brand new light.
What happened to the old one?
It just conked out. It must have been old. It was a ceiling
bulb.
It wasn't a bulb because it still had power. It just went out.
Is the light part of the ceiling fan or vice versa?
They're all one. So I stripped everything down to the two wires coming down. And
then you had to go to Menards or Home Depot or wherever.
In this case, I went to Menards because they are a sponsor.
And you got the new combined fan and light.
Nope, just a light. I don't think we need a fan in the kitchen. It's fine. So I've got a tester. I'm not an electrician. I've installed two lights prior in the past month and a half in our house.
Mm-hmm.
We just do it as we go.
Well, you're ahead of me. I don't do electric work.
It's not that difficult.
Well,
just don't get electrocuted.
Well, that's my problem.
Or start a fire.
My problem would be I'd fear that I'd get electrocuted.
I think you would do better than you think.
Well, just turn off the fuse for that room.
I did, but we have fuses. We don't have circuit breakers, so I wasn't sure.
Just unscrew the fuse.
But I've like tested this. It. Yeah, you did. In fact, you showed me as if I didn't know how to unscrew a fuse. You say you just go like this.
Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Just loosen it up there. So what's coming up, boys?
We've got the Friday fill-in football fun fest. We got Murphy, Morris, Height.
Why don't you and I repair to a studio and do a GL podcast?
We're going to help out those garage logicians that may not be caught up.
Mm-hmm.
We can do that.
Podcast One, right?
Podcast1.com. You can find the Garage Logic podcast and the Inside Garage Logic podcast. On an Apple iTunes, you can find Rookies Family Podcast.
ESPN is KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
The Family Podcast.